Good evening. Welcome to Distant Mirror. I'm Alan Kelly, your host, and every week at this time, music of the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, and the Baroque. A main feature will be this Gothic Voices CD, The Service of Venus and Mars, music for the Knights of the Garter, 1340 to 1440. That actually is music from the 100 Years' War between England and France, and there was a lot of music came out of that war, a lot of great tunes. We're going to hear some of them from both England and France with Gothic Voices, and also lute music with Paul Odette from his latest CD, music of Marco dell'Aquila, pieces for lute. We begin with music from the Hundred Years' War. The Hundred Years' War was, it lasted roughly from the middle of the 14th to the middle of the 15th centuries, with many intermediate periods of peace. It was, at bottom, a dynastic war. England had controlled more land in France than the French king. When William the Conqueror became king of England in 1066, he brought Normandy with him. He had been Duke of Normandy beforehand. When Henry Plantagenet came to the throne in 1153, he brought Anjou, Brittany, and Gascony, and with his marriage to Eleanor of Aquitaine, he brought that large parcel of land under his control as well. But, starting with his son John, England began to lose many of its holdings due to a succession of strong French kings, most notably Philip Augustus, St. Louis, that's Louis IX, and Philip the Fair. However, when Philip the Fair's three sons died in quick succession, the only sibling left was Isabella, and through Salic law, which is French law, women could not inherit, nor could a male inherit through the female line. Isabella's husband was Edward III of England, and they had a son, Edward, who Edward III claimed should be the rightful king of France. That would be Edward the Black Prince. Anyway, he decided, Edward III, husband of Isabella, he decided to make a claim anyway. But the French turned to Philip of Valois, brother of Philip the Fair, uncle of Isabella, who was crowned as the first of the Valois kings. So the Capetian line came to an end, and a cadet branch of the family took the throne. Edward disagreed with the ruling and went to war, winning back much of former English holdings with decisive battles at Crecy and Poitiers. The Black Death, followed by hard economic times, put the war on the back burner for a generation or more, but then it continued in the 1370s, halted again due to succession problems at home. The Lancasters had now reached the ascendancy in England by the end of the century, and restarted under Henry V. You remember Laurence Olivier, right? Henry V, who had a complete victory at Agincourt, which brought the French monarchy to its knees. Henry married the daughter of the French king and would have become king of France himself, but he suddenly died. The English still held sway, however, under a series of great generals, Bedford and others. But then the young maid of Orleans, Joan of Arc, inspired the French army onto victory after victory, only to be betrayed by the Burgundians, who were allies with the English. Are you following all of this? Now, the French king might have come to her aid, but he didn't, and she was burned as a witch. Still, in the end, you may say she won, for the English were soon driven off the continent and too weak to start the war back up again due to the minority of the English king, Henry VI, and the squabbles over his regency. Well, in the middle of all this now, remember, you have the Black Death, which wiped out anywhere from a quarter to a third of the population of Europe. France's population, due to the plague and war, is said to have been cut in half in the 100-year span. The popes had moved their seats to Avignon in the south of France and become a political football between the warring parties, each of whom was trying to claim God was on their side. Things don't change with warring armies. In addition, there were peasant revolts in both countries due to the bad economy that resulted from the war and the epidemic. In short, it was a mess. On the plus side, however, there is a plus side. A lot of great songs came out of that war. that's the plus side, and we're going to hear some of them right now. Most anonymous, of course, as you'd imagine, but there are selections here by Philippe de Vitry, Thomas Picard, Lionel Power, John Dunstable. Many of these were written by or performed by musicians of the English kings, who, under Edward III, had set up the Knights of the Garter, a chivalric order, an old boys' network, really, to inspire the soldiers and the general population with fighting spirit, I suppose. Gothic Voices perform, led by Christopher Page and featuring Andrew Lawrence King on medieval harp. Music from the time of the Hundred Years' War.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Music performed by Gothic Voices. Music of the Hundred Years' War. Or from the time of the Hundred Years' War. Not all war songs, obviously, but some. The name of the CD is called The Service of Venus and Mars. Music for the Knights of the Garter, 1340 to 1440. I can think of that Venus and Mars probably chosen as periods of peace and war, for that Hundred Years did have many cooling off periods of truce for a generation or more. And a lot of those songs were sacred as well as secular, and very well known pieces too. Lulay Lulay, which we hear oftentimes at Christmas. I think Anonymous 4 recorded that in their Christmas CD, and other groups have as well. There Is No Rose of Such Virtue. That's a very popular melody. And, of course, there are many others there, too. A lot of plain chant as well, mass parts. Gothic Voices, Margaret Philpott, alto. Rogers Covey Crump, tenor. John Mark Ainsley, tenor. Lee Nixon, tenor. Peter Harvey, baritone. Colin Mason, baritone. And on medieval harp, Andrew Lawrence King. The director of the ensemble is Christopher Page. And that is available on Hyperion. The Service of Venus and Mars, music for the Knights of the Garter, music from the time of the Hundred Years' War. Hope you like that. I'm your host, Alan Kelly. This is Distant Mirror. We're going to wrap up music of Marco dell'Aquila. Now, his date's 1480 to 1544. He was a composer of remarkable individuality and creativity. In the lute's transition from the late Middle Ages into its fully formed Renaissance idiom, dell'Aquila was a pivotal figure. And his trademark, stile brise, which means broken style, influenced the development of instrumental music for the next 200 years, at least for the lute and instruments which succeeded the lute. We're going to hear Paul Odet right now, music of Marco dell'Aquila. Thank you. Music there of Marco dell'Aquila, and that's from a CD just released recently by Paul Odette performing on Arch Lute. And we heard several selections of dell'Aquila, beginning with a Saltarello, a piece called Il Verein, then a March, a Fantasia, and a Ricercar. Pieces for lute. And dell'Aquila again, let me give you his dates. I have them here. Yes, circa 1480 to 1544. The inventor of the stile brise, which I thought was a breezy style, but it doesn't mean that. It means a broken style. Well, we've heard of broken consorts, right? So it's that same kind of idea. It's on Harmonia Mundi. And that does it for Distant Mirror for this week. I want to remind you that Distant Mirror is made possible in part by a grant from the Frank and Lydia Bergen Foundation and from our listener members. I've been your host, Alan Kelly. Until next week at the same time, Salus et Vita.